I get by, you know, and I write my songs on air and what have you.
Yeah.
But playing live is a different thing for me, coming into it so late.
Yeah.
The experience of getting up in front of people, playing guitar and singing is just gets too much sometimes.
So why did you get into it so late, as you described?
Oh, I just worked, you know. I was a family man. I was married, I had two children, and I was worked in the NHS. I was a CPN, they call it.
Oh gosh,
community psychiatric nurse.
Ah right, well, you must have met me at some point in your career then.
Well, man, looking after myself, I was as well. And then retirement came, and I retired with depression. The lockdown came.
Yeah.
I wrote a few songs, and one thing has led to another. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah. Did you always write songs? Or?
Not really. No. Yeah. It's always something I kind of thought I would try and do one day, and then I don't know, but not really. What about you?
I got into music through a church youth group. Everybody in there, I was about 17 at the time, and everybody there could play guitar. And I was kind of interested in music late on, even though I was 17. I was kind of late that I became aware of music through the Beatles film Help. Mm. I was watching that, and I watched the one scene where they're recording in the studio, and they're recording "You're Gonna Lose That Girl." Mm. And that was the first time a song actually spoke to me, and I was about 14-ish at the time. And then Gary Numan came out, and of course, you know, huge synth sounds, huge soundscapes. Mm. And I just wanted to know how to do that. Mm. So that kind of, I got the old Pfeiffer organ from out the attic, and I was sat in Sunday afternoons, sat in the kitchen trying to write some doodles, and made my own notation to try and remember them. But going back to the Sunday group, the church group, I started to learn because everybody else could play, and I thought, well, the only reason I wanted to learn was to be a vehicle for the music I could hear in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started, I can remember even now the first song I wrote, and it was so dreadful. It was D, A, E minor, and it was just D, A, E minor, E minor, D, A, E minor, E minor. That was basically the song, and the vocal melody just followed the chords.
Mm-hmm.
It was just tragic, but you know,
it was a start, though.
And I couldn't afford a guitar, so I had an old Spanish guitar in a cupboard. So there were no strings on it, so I had to put cotton and wool into the slots to be able to work out where my fingers would go.
All right.
So I used cotton and wool as my guides to learn chords. It was dreadful, but I mean, at least every Friday evening, then I could get onto a real guitar and dazzle my friends with what I hadn't learnt in the week before.
Excellent, I think learning the guitar was I played about with the guitar for years, but then at the age of around late teens, probably.
Yeah.
I decided to run away to sea.
Oh gosh!
I remember sailing from Swansea, funnily enough.
Yeah.
And I bought a guitar and a chord book to take with me. It was going to be about a 4 or 5 month voyage, you know.
Yeah.
And in my cabin, on the ship, then I'd go through the chords, and
good grief.
That's how I learned the guitar. Yeah. Really.
So they didn't throw you overboard then, did they?
Well, the one they didn't, you know. although I played the guitar a little bit before, I suppose I honed it a bit then, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but didn't start the songwriting until lot later in life, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what was the first song you wrote, and how old were you at the time?
The first song I wrote properly was probably Lines, probably it's called. Oh, right. It's on the first album.
Yeah.
And it was all about my sister who tragically died at 40. So some people tell me my songs are a bit tragic.
Yeah. No, no.
But Lines was the first one I wrote. Yeah. It was a question of just, you know, laying down the chords firstly.
Yeah.
And then the words. And then I took it to a studio where a chap called Paul Edwards just transformed it into something wonderful.
Brilliant.
You know.
Yeah.
And I was sold then, you know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make more songs.
Yeah, brilliant. All,
yeah. And you?
We've covered the first song I ever wrote, but the first song I wrote that I thought, oh yeah, I could probably do this, was a song called Catechisms,
yeah,
which is about, the title has nothing really to do with the song, but I do like doing that. I do like writing an interesting title and then completely disregarding it. It's about how people in Wales can sometimes struggle to get well known or struggle through the disadvantages, and then all of a sudden they leave Wales, like, and it's like, why?
Mm.
You know, I mean, Wales is a lovely country and a beautiful place, and if ever you want it to be well known and yet unknown, you could just stay in Wales, like, because people are just down to earth and don't, you know, I don't think they'd pester you that much.
No, it is a beautiful place to live in it.
Okay, this is going to be a very arrhythmic, very atonal version of Myths and Fables. It's about the societal myths we tell each other to keep ourselves warm at night. It's a happy song. Here we go. Say that it's okay for men to cry. We're the ones that broke him with a lie. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. Say there's no such thing as gateway drugs. How come we turned into buzzcrazed thugs? Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. They say it's better to have loved and lost. That depends on how you count the cost. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. They say that no one ever really dies until their memory fades. What a lie. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. It's always what they want and never what we need. And we say platitudes, falsehood, smug retort, can whistle in the wind. It's time for truth. Open eyes, no secret lies. It's time to choose. Chose lies. They say that all roads lead to Rome. I just wanna get back to my home. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. Say that we sprung from primordial dust.
dust to lust beneath the crumbling crust. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. Myths and fables, yeah, yeah. It's always what they want and never what we need. And we say platitudes, falsehoods, smug retorts. It's time for truth. Open eyes. No secret lies. It's time to choose. We're out of time. The planet bends. And we chose lies. Thank you very much. Cheers.
So, who are your heroes like?
Oh, God. That's kind of changed throughout my life, you know.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember initially when I was being really taken with the sound of Tamla Motown, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Stevie Wonder, Four Tops, Temptations.
Yeah.
All that kind of music.
Yeah.
And then it kind of changed then to, I remember when Tubular Bells came out.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
And I thought Mike Oldfield was, how did he manage to do that?
Know,
he was
only
a kid of 17 and he played all the instruments and, and he was kind of, I still hold him in very high regard.
Yeah.
So he's one of my sort of heroes. But I got, Pink Floyd.
Oh, know, yeah. Yeah, I can spot Pink Floyd in your music. Yeah,
can you?
Yeah,
oh, that's a real compliment.
Yeah, it's definitely there. Yeah,
I love Pink Floyd, and there's other people like you know, more folky like John Martin.
Oh, I love John Martin.
Yeah, I
learned the slap method of playing with John Martin.
Okay, yeah.
Just listening to him and trying to work out what he was doing, yeah.
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 And Dylan, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to be there somewhere,
haven't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, who was your main influences, do you think?
Oh, gosh. The Beatles, first off. Then Gary Numan. And then I started listening to XTC and I loved their angular rhythms and the like disjointedness that comes together.
Yes.
And I also, Kate Bush was another big one for
brilliant.
Me. I loved her kind of like operatic, almost a theatre production in a song. And, and then, of course, I started getting into the harder stuff, which is like Pixies, Nirvana, Fugazi, Smashing Pumpkins were another big influence on me. As you said, things change throughout your life, but you still go back to the old stuff, like really old. This is embarrassing, but really old Peter Gabriel, Genesis.
Oh, I love that.
I adored that. Yeah,
better. So preferred it with Peter Gabriel. Yeah, was in it. Yeah.
So many times it comes across as so pompous, but it's just brilliant. Like,
I don't know. Yeah. You know, if you like it, you like it. Though,
exactly.
Don't you?
You know,
it's.
Yeah.
I love the old Genesis stuff. I think Supper's Ready was probably one of my favorite tracks they did off Foxtrot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Selling England by the Pound, of course.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. That's probably my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think that was when Phil, I think, I don't know if Phil Collins had taken.
No, that was still
Gabriel, was it? Yeah.
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 Okay, this is a song called Patchouli Girl. It's all about basically the summer of 76, hippies and global warming and patchouli oil, which was commonly worn by all us hippies back then. Okay, thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4. All it took poultice of love fits like a glove. You lay your hands and you heal my soul like rock and roll and Nat King Cole. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Lay one love to me, girl. Yeah, 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 yeah. Cozy in our TV world.
Yeah, because I've got autism, I've got Asperger's.
Oh, okay.
So when I sing, it tends to be very, very flat, and so I've got to record myself, listen to it, and then get people to tell me you should be putting emphasis there, and you should be doing it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I listen to what people say, and then I re-record. Trying to put the emotive parts in, but I always find that really difficult to find naturally.
Mm.
Maybe it's because of the subject matter I choose to write about, but it's hard to. It's that's always been the hardest part for me, is the emotive side. Yeah,
My grandson's got autism. He's doing really, really well. Though,
oh,
you
good.
Know? He's in a specialized school and all that, you know.
Yeah.
But
it's quite common. Gary Newman's got Asperger's as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah, there's lots of people who, you see on the television who got it, haven't they?
Exactly,
The guy on Nature Watch, I can't think of his name now.
Oh.
He's on one of those nature programs.
Not Chris Packer.
Yes.
All right, yeah.
He's got autism.
Gosh,
yeah.
It kind of explains why he can be very obsessive about that. Because especially when he said we should disobey the government when it comes to certain rules.
Is that what he said? Yeah.
But I can understand his viewpoint.
Mm.
I can see where he's coming from. I've always been very obsessive about music. Tanks, World War II tanks is a big obsession with me.
Really?
Yeah. And shapes and angles, that's what fascinates me about tanks.
Yeah.
And aircraft, of course, even though I'm terrified of flying, I adore aircraft.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've got to be pilled up and pilsnered up to get on an aircraft. Yeah.
I'm a bit the same with it. When I'm in London, I'm always like looking at
the aircraft.
You tell I'm a trooper because I'm always like, oh, look at the aircraft.
Yeah.
Tanks. I've been somewhere. Where did I go?
Bovington.
Bovington, yeah. I bet you've been there.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Couldn't get me out today.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Oh,